Today on Real Radio.
The amazing thing about a parable is that if they don't grab it, it's not a deficiency in the parable. It exposes the darkness of their heart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. Now, many of these parables, types of analogies, describe the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew describes it. Now, we're looking at the parable of the dragnet. In fact, that's the title of today's study, the parable of the dragnet, taken from Matthew chapter 13 and verses 47 through 50. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50. We're looking at the parable tonight of the dragnet. In some of your study Bibles, it might be called the parable of the giraffe or the dragnet. The dragnet is more accurate because it actually is the right word. Though we use the word dragnet in English, it does describe the actual word that Jesus used in the Greek regarding this particular parable. The parable of the dragnet, Matthew 13, verse 47. Hold your finger there, and I want to read you the introduction to the parables. Jesus, or the scripture I should say, says, Matthew 13, 1, that on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got in a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, parabolic, parabolos. He's throwing truth, you know this now, alongside the minds of the hearer, so that they might take it. The parables are the most effective form of delivering information. The tragic thing on one end is if a heart is not open to the truth being delivered, God wraps the truth in perfect modern day or current time, real time images, and he deposits it alongside the hearer so that they might grab it. The amazing thing about a parable is that if they don't grab it, it's not a deficiency in the parable. It exposes the darkness of their heart. Two people can hear a parable, same parable, sitting side by side, and they'll hear it, and one person says, "I don't get it." And the other person gets it. Why does that happen? One heart is open, one heart is not. Parables expose the heart. Isn't that a serious thing? Think about it. Wow, that is powerful. So Matthew 13, 47, the parable of the dragnet. Again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, the church age, the preaching, the going forth of the gospel age is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. Verse 49, here comes the interpretation. He interprets it for us. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from or among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This parable is very similar, if you're taking notes, to the parable we studied regarding the wheat and the tares. Remember that. If you weren't here, you can go online and watch or listen to it, or you can get it in the media room, but they're very similar. And again, Jesus is delivering the message. And the destination, by the way, the warning is regarding the eternal destination of those who would reject the love offering of God's gospel. That rejection brings consequences. And so this parable lands like a rock in the minds of the hearer. And it's a very powerful thing because it tells us, make note of this, Jesus says, time is running out. Jesus is saying, there's an end coming. Note this. There's a time coming when the angels will be dispatched and time will end. An age, an epoch, a period that we'll know more about as we come through this study together. But this is an awesome thing. In fact, listen to this. There's a real-time warning, I would say, for us today that there's an increasing number of people, church, listen, that are religionists. They claim to be religious people. They even claim to be Christians. They're famous, who today tell us there is no way that Jesus meant what he's saying here. That there cannot be, they say, an actual hell. They say it wouldn't be consistent with God. That God is love. Now listen to this, because if you pitch it their way, listen how reasonable this sounds. But watch out. How does this truth land? They say Jesus is just trying to make a point. Hell cannot be real. Wouldn't be consistent with the love of God. It's a symbol. It's a type. It's an illustration. And so he's just trying to encourage us to get very serious about living our lives in a meaningful way. That there is no real or actual hell. This is very, very popular doctrine growing today, predominantly among young people. Why? Honestly, because they have an absolute skewed view of the love of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, and listen, because it comes out in their lifestyle, the pathetic or weak view of sin. The very same ones that entertain a carnal lifestyle also embrace this doctrine. I can do anything I want. I'm a Christian now. Oh, and by the way, there is no hell. I find it interesting that all of the cults, they don't agree on anything except two things. Did you know this? They all agree on two things and two things only. No matter what cult it is, Jesus cannot be God, and there is no hell. Those two doctrines play right into Satan's hands. Undermine the deity of Jesus Christ. And oh, by the way, even if you come to doubt your cult membership and your cult group, even if you doubt that and you doubt what their leaders are saying, or you even doubt the doctrines that are propagated, you don't have to worry because after all said and done, and all of those cults, there's no hell. Isn't that interesting? There's nothing to worry about. Isn't that a brilliant stroke of demonic action to get someone, to get a soul to believe there is no hell? If there is no heaven or hell, or if there is no hell, why would we evangelize to reach out to love on people and give them the gospel if the end is not separation from God? Think about it. No, Jesus said exactly what he meant, and don't you think it's powerful that he spoke on this topic more than anybody else? He would pay the price. He knows. But see, this is what happens when emotionally based theology trumps biblically based theology. I don't like the way it sounds, so thus it's truth. Jesus does not ask you how it sounds to you. And they've relegated and neutered God's righteousness down to a very good guy. And it's very, very dangerous, church. Be very careful. James Montgomery Boyce says that the sobering main point of the parable is thus. A day of reckoning will come in which God will separate the true believers from mere pretenders, and those found to be false will be cast into hell, says the Bible. A parable is designed to better explain and illuminate a reality. This is true for all parables. So friends, listen tonight as we come to this parable, which is very, very direct. This parable now is not different than the others. Jesus takes an actual living event to teach us about something that is a spiritual reality. That's the purpose of a parable. Jot this down, if you would, regarding the parable of the dragnet. It's this, and by the way, this is my subtitle, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Okay, number one, the gospel into the world. Write that down. The gospel into the world. That's how it begins, and that's a good thing. Matthew 13, verses 47 and 48 says, again, Jesus is the kingdom of heaven. What's it like in the church age? From the day of Pentecost to when the gospel has run its course. It's like a dragnet, Jesus says, that was cast into the sea. We'll know all this in a moment, what it means. And gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. Stop right there. This is awesome. Because right now, church, you can highlight those verses, 47 and 48. This is exactly the time zone of which you and I are living in right now. Verse 47 and 48 is happening right now in our lifetime. You're living in those verses today. The dragnet is going out. Let me explain. The kingdom of heaven is synonymous with the kingdom of God or the church age preaching of the gospel. It goes all over the world. It started in Jerusalem, and look, it's reached Chino Hills. It's encompassed the world. And imagine, it's being broadcast by internet, by television, by radio, by shortwave, by missionary, all around the world, in every time zone around the world. But what's amazing is you and I are literally living in a moment's time now that Jesus prophetically spoke about back then. You can sign your initials next to verses 47 and 48. We're living it now. Don't you get that? Isn't that kind of awesome? All of a sudden, my Bible jumps off its pages, and it's a reality of my life. I'm living verse 47 and 48 as I stand before you right now. And all of the disciples would have understood the parable. He speaks to them about a very common thing of their day. They all knew about the kingdom coming. It was an Old Testament concept. It would come. They also knew what a dragnet was. Let me tell you. A dragnet, the word implies a wide, broad, deep net that is weighted down with lead balls so that it scrapes the bottom of the lake or of the sea. It is completely indiscriminate about who it scoops up or what it scoops up. It is massive. It's pulled often by several boats at the same time. It brings everything into it that's in its path. It's very important to remember. Then the laborious part, or the laborious part of it, is that the fishermen must then sift out what is brought up in the net. Now, I don't know if you go out deep sea fishing or not. Personally, I hate it for this reason. You don't know what you're bringing up. I don't like that kind of fishing. I want to be at a river or a creek and you're fishing for trout or bass or whatever. When you throw a hook into the ocean over here, what are you going to get? You don't even know. In fact, even if you catch something, what is it? Looks like the stuff we pull out of our shores here. It looks like from Mars. But when you put in a net and you pull up all kinds of stuff, man, you're pulling up, you know, octopus and fish and boots and teacups, and you don't know what you're getting. All of this stuff is coming up. And that's the very word. And all the disciples would have said, yeah, we know how that is. Jesus, we got it. We're fishermen. We got that. We understand that. Crystal clear. And then the word sea, the sea. This is kind of cool. The sea throughout Old and New Testament, the sea is always, in the reading of the Bible, not good. Did you know that? The sea. The dragon in the book of Revelation and Daniel comes up out of the sea. The sea is always speaking about the populace or the humanity of the Gentile world predominantly. The sea. The world governing empires are seen often rising up out of the sea. Isn't it interesting that the book of Revelation, chapter 21, 1, the Bible says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth that is yet to come had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. There's not going to be a sea in the new heaven and the new earth. No surfing. No fishing for all those demonic looking fish I talked about earlier. No sea. Now, that might disappoint some of you. It did me when I first read it, but I'm sure God's going to make up for it. It's going to be amazing. To the Jewish mind, the sea is not good. Are you with me? Even in today in Israel, the sea is not a good thing. They're not a seafaring people, by the way. It's always been in the Jewish mind from Old to New Testament. But as soon as Jesus mentions it, they all understand that's the world. So in your note-taking, the dragnet is the gospel going out. The sea is the world. So the gospel's going to go to the world. And there's going to be gathered some. Circle the word some. This is amazing. Some of every kind. Not everything is drawn up in the net. Some of every kind. What does that mean? That means, listen, not everyone is saved. Listen, this gets real technical. And even the some that are brought up in the net, are you listening? When it's pulled up, there's going to be a dividing of the good from the bad. Wow, there's kind of three groups of people. Those who are not in the net, then those who get in the net, and then those who are in the net, out of the two of them, the Bible says there's a good fish and a bad fish. Oh, what do you mean? Do you mean that people who are saved, they're a good fish, but they turn into a bad fish? Nope. Jesus has warned us over and over again. The wheat saw around them the what? Tares, the chaff, the false. The gathering together, there was the leaven that ruined the whole offering of the bread. The little leaven leavens the whole lump. There's always, listen, in the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying when the net goes out, fish get in it. But in the end, it will be proven, it will be shown that not all the fish in the net are good fish. Meaning there are pretenders and lookalikes and mimics in the body of Christ, in the church. Fake or false brethren, Paul called them. Imposters. You say, well, what church? The church. Where? Everywhere. But not here, right? Here. Not in this service, right? Maybe. Think about it. I told you before, Jesus had a church of 12 people. One of them was a goofball. There's a warning to this, and it's very serious. And so the dragnet goes out. It's a interesting thing. Look at it. It says, and they gathered some of every kind. This does not mean limitation. It's an observation. Jesus is not saying the gospel's ability to save is limited. No. There are those who respond to the gospel. Again, in your note-taking, Bible students, what is excellent to this is, again, the parable of the sower and the seed. Do you remember? Jesus went out, and many people responded to the seed that was sown, which, remember, was the word of God. But in time, persecution arose, and some of those, quote, believers gave up on believing. Remember? They weren't real. Do you remember what the proof was? And the one that received the word on good soil with a good heart, they produced fruit. Remember that? There was the only one that produced fruit. How do you know if a Christian is a real Christian? By fruit production. It's true. We are not to condemn anyone. We don't have that authority. The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. The word is condemned. It should say, condemn not, lest you be condemned. But we are supposed to be fruit examiners in people's lives. Jesus said, by their fruits, you will know them. Or by their fruit, you will know them. Okay? That's very important. So, it's an observation, not a limitation. Some of every kind got into the net. Revelation 5:9, listen to this. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song. This is John seeing heaven. And this is what they sang in heaven. You are worthy to take the scroll, speaking of Jesus, and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of, here it is, every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That's the meaning of that verse in our dragnet parable. out of every tribe. Not every tribe was saved, but people within every tribe. Do you hear that? It's very important. Lockyer, in his commentary, writes this. Plying the sea, that's plying, P-L-Y-I-N-G, plying the sea with the gospel net, they were to fish for the souls of men. All those who have been caught by the gospel make it their aim to fish for family, friends, and foes alike. Have you found that to be true in your life? One of the indicators of a believer is that there's a driving passion in your heart to have family members and loved ones become believers. Why? Now listen, we need to get this parable under our skin. I'm afraid that we've lost something in our age. If we begin to look around, now hear me out. This is for the believer. The non-believer is not going to like this, but believers, listen. We need to start looking at the lost in our lives, our friends, our family, and our foes. Not looking at them as friend, family, and foes, but look at them as lost souls. If we really, really believed the gospel, I'm not saying we don't, but we don't take it serious. If we knew what time it was on God's prophetic time clock, if we knew that somebody that we know in our family, if we knew that next Friday they're going to drop dead of a heart attack, what would you do about that? Would you call them up? Would you drive to their house? Would you finally get over your fear and witness to them? Because you know, now some people might say, well, I don't know, I'll just pray that he gets saved. Listen, that's not a heart that understands that hell is a reality will crawl on glass across this county, which is the largest in America, and tell someone about the love of God because hell is real and you care for them. If we love them, we'll reach them. This church spends, I think, I have actually need to be refreshed on the amount, but it's somewhere around $1 million a year to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. Why? Because hell's real. If hell wasn't real, why spend it? If hell wasn't real, then why learn how to share the gospel? Are you with me? Jesus seriously died on the cross, and he seriously rose again from the dead, and he seriously spoke about heaven and hell because it's a reality. But if we saw, you know, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he said, if I could suspend one Christian over the pit of hell for 15 seconds, they would never backslide all the days of their life. Think of that motivational. Wow. In Mark chapter 1, verse 16, Mark 1, 16 and 17 says, and as he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Dragnet. It's a look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. The Parable of the Dragnet, part of Pastor Jack's series on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because it is Wednesday, we often like to remind you here on Real Radio to join us for Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs live on his channel at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. That's every Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. Just go to hischannel.com, hischannel.com, super easy after that. Just a couple of points and clicks, and you'll be joining us for Pastor Jack's Wednesday night study. It's a great study every week. Again, that's live at 7:30 West Coast time on his channel, hischannel.com. We hope you'll join us. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ
and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.